Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I am back, guys. For those of you who were waiting for me on Tuesday, I wasn't able to do my show then, which is why I'm doing it today. I hope you guys are all having a wonderful week five, I believe. We're almost halfway there, everybody. It's a Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon. And we are almost on the halfway point of this semester. I hope everything's going all good for you guys. Courses are coming along good. The midterm season and exam season is coming up. So I hope the preparation for that is going smoothly, along with you guys taking care of yourselves through this stressful, but I guess somewhat exciting process, because sometimes, you know, the pressure and the adrenaline is what makes living exciting and meaningful. For me, I actually finished off a presentation for one of my classes. I think it went wonderfully. I did another presentation last week, which also went very, very well. Which is funny, because I haven't actually done any formal presentations in a very, very long time. And it was actually quite nice to stand up in front of people and talk about my topics and my analysis within a novel or a topic. The first presentation I actually did was about physical activity for my nursing course that I'm taking about stress. And it was actually very interesting. I created this game at the end of the presentation, and we all participated as a group, and I also brought some chocolate as a winner's gift, and I think it went very, very smoothly, and I hope that a lot of people enjoyed doing it, because I enjoyed crafting that small segment. For today's episode, I will actually be doing a solo movie review. The movie that I've chosen to review today is called Happiness for Beginners. It is a recent movie that came out, I think, in 2023, which was only last year. So I hope you guys get a chance to view this movie, because it's actually a very, very wholesome, but it has that enemy to lovers trope, which is always a classic for romantic comedy movies. And it's set in a very beautiful setting of nature. It's honestly one of those movies where you could still probably enjoy it without the plot, because how beautiful the entire setting is, and the colors that are portrayed and the sceneries. It's truly beautiful to see that throughout the whole entire movie. And it's actually a very interesting plot line, where these two characters are not only finding love, which actually comes after the trip of their hike, but they discover things that are more internal about themselves and gives them a chance to reflect on their own problems with their own lives, trying to ground themselves in a more content position than they were before the hiking trip. And the hiking trip itself is actually a very interesting storyline, I believe, in a romantic comedy, because I think most times it's not really driven in such an active environment. Or perhaps it's almost in situations where it's kind of in the corporate world, where they're working, or maybe they're in different jobs. But in this case, they're kind of, the protagonists are working towards the same goal of achieving this hiking trip. So it's actually very wonderful. I think it's a great movie to watch, you know, just laid back, you know, relaxed, and just enjoy the chemistry between the characters along with the beautiful scenery. After I finish off with the movie review today, I will actually turn a couple more songs by Shred Kelly. It's my third episode with their songs, and you know, this time I'm going to be turning on some new songs from their another album called Sing to the Night, and I think it's a beautiful song that I hope you guys enjoy as well. But before we get through all of those contents, why don't we get through the station ID, some ads, and some PSAs, and we will get this episode going. So I hope you guys enjoy this, and I'll see you guys in a couple seconds.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, Anthasiakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustail. Lean in, listeners, because you're not going to want to miss this. An underground alternative to the Vancouver International Film Festival has emerged in the form of Off VIF. It is a first edition of the yearly counter program taking place during VIF, and it all kicks off at the Rio Theatre on October 7th at 8:15 p.m. The headliner is the North American premiere of King Baby. This local concoction premiered in Rotterdam, played all over Europe to rave reviews, and is finally coming home. Described as
a brilliant, insightful, and hilarious fable.
And as
an astute reflection on the decline of male power.
You're not going to want to miss this one. So head down to the Rio on October 7th and join the fun. You can find tickets on the Rio website, and we also have discounted and free tickets available. No one's turned away. And remember, folks, Off VIF is off capitalism.
Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TICKETLEADER.CA.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Hey, what's that song from that movie?
Every other Wednesday at 6 p.m., join me, Logan the Extra,
and me, Movie Maverick Mike, as we discuss popular songs featured in movies, or popular movies that feature songs.
On That Song from That Movie, we talk about how the song fits into the movie, why they chose the song they did,
and we'll share our expert opinions on the art of music and movies.
So if you find yourself asking, I wonder what that song from that movie is, check us out every other Wednesday at 6 to 6:30 p.m.
Or you can listen to all our episodes on CITR.ca. Who knows, maybe we talked about that song or movie that you love.
We are That Song from That Movie every second Wednesday at 6 p.m. or anytime at CITR.ca.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful afternoon. It seems like there was a bit of sun earlier today, but it's kind of getting buried by the clouds. But nevertheless, there is no rain, so I guess that's always a bonus. It is a bit chilly outside, so I think a hoodie would do to warm you up while you take a walk. So as I mentioned, for today's episode, I will be doing a movie review. The movie I've chosen to do is called Happiness for Beginners. It's directed by Ben Cook. It's a very funny but also intense romantic comedy in terms of how the characters interact with each other, along with the conflict that they all have to go through simultaneously as they are all involved in a hiking trip. That seems very difficult because the hiking trip goes on for days. I think it's like 10 days or something, maybe longer. But it actually made me want to go on a hiking trip that long. But at the same time, it also seems like you really have to train for it because you're just walking miles, countless amount of miles every day, and it seems like a continuous thing. However, I do feel like those campfires and the meals that you eat and all those, you know, games that you play at night while watching the stars, moving away from those electronic devices that we're always invested in, will give you such a freeling feeling of life, and being that connected with nature, I think would give a very valuable lesson towards the perception of life, which is encouraged in this movie. But why don't we get to, you know, the characters and what exactly this movie is about? So the main character is named Helen Carpenter. She's actually recently divorced, and she wants to kind of go on this journey to rediscover herself and use this hiking trip to foster personal growth, resilience, and later on realizing the importance of community. And like I mentioned, I'm actually taking a course on stress this semester, and one of the key things, if not probably one of the most important things about the resolution and the source where you can go to relieve stress, is actually from your community. It's actually from the people that you love, your friends, your family members, your siblings, anyone at all that you can go to. That community and those people actually help you recover and bounce back from those stressful times that you experience. And I personally relate to this a lot. I would much rather have an hour conversation eating banana bread with my best friends than to just stay at home and, you know, have pizza or just go to the gym and just work out alone. Although sometimes those solitary actions do help with the relief of stress. I think one of the things is you kind of have to project it, not in a negative way, but kind of, you know, talk about it with someone and relieve and give that stress a chance to escape your body so you can kind of recollect yourself and start in a fresh, clean position. So, Helen, who's played by Ellie Kemper, is a 32-year-old school teacher grappling with the aftermath of her divorce and her alcoholic husband, who actually continues to call her during her hiking trip. And Helen actually is seen to reconsider their relationship almost because she almost feels like she seems to portray a sense of loss in terms of her own identity and maybe doesn't really have the confidence to bounce back. And she kind of seems to see her ex-husband as a way to reconnect and go back to normal, which clearly is not the best solution for her, as the husband wasn't a great person who made some mistakes along the way. She feels very stagnant in her life, and which actually influences her to embark on this 3-week wilderness survival course in the Apalachin Mountains, which actually was encouraged by her brother, Duncan. And through this trip, she goes on this 80-mile hike where she ends up earning a best hiker. Well, she doesn't technically earn the certificate. It's actually given to somebody else. But I'd say that she earns this best hiker certificate, which symbolizes her desire, but also the accomplishment to rise again from her loss of identity, and not loss of identity, but I guess this whole hectic experience that she went through with her divorce and almost finding a sense of purpose once more. And she's no longer kind of fixated on this bubble that she's always in with her job and, you know, people. But yeah, it's a very interesting story plot that this movie goes through. And through this process, Helen actually falls in love with Duncan, who is the younger brother's friend, that they've kind of known each other for a long time, since they were children, I think. Helen's character arc is very cynical and guarded initially. She's very defensive towards the people that she's dealing with, especially with Duncan's friend, which later comes up. But she has this wall that she continues to carry around herself that signifies the independency that she contains within her character, but also the fearfulness of letting go and having that guard down. And through her interactions with Duncan's friend, she kind of begins to let go of this wall and open herself up towards a new relationship, which ends up evolving to a romantic relationship. So if we go through the themes of the movie, one of the film's primary themes is actually self-discovery, which may seem a little ironic because it's a hiking trip, and the hiking guide, who is actually very enthusiastic, I'd say, about his job, firmly emphasizes on the aspect of cooperation, teamwork, and how you shouldn't neglect people based on their abilities, but learn to work with it. And there's that the fact that there's always something to learn about people. And there's another concept where it deals with the external and internal nature of how people portray themselves. And this is especially evident in one of the scenes where a hiker who's Mason, who seems externally as a very confident, strong-willed, independent character who knows what he's doing, physically capable and strong, yet begins to fall into this state where he is confused and lost when one of the hikers named Hugh gets injured. And through these two different images that are portrayed through Mason's character, you can clearly see how these external and internal influences are very interesting and signifies the complexity of characters. and how the internal nature of people may represent the truth about who they are as a person relative to their external presentation. And another concept that this movie deals with is the concept of happiness itself. And the happiness is not necessarily driven by creating these relationships, but through the hike, they learn through conflict and urgency and how they interact and react to those situations, which leads them to reflect on themselves as people and their past experiences, and gives them a chance to collect their thoughts in a way that will improve them, which eventually trickles down to the happiness that they eventually kind of obtain. And I really love the fact that this movie emphasizes on the fact that the concept of support and connection, because they're all so different in terms of characters. I mean, the way that they speak, the way that they perceive things, the values they have, even the points where some characters may find a scene or a situation humorous, whereas one person may feel skeptical, another very scared, and these mixture of emotions gives in to how difficult it can be to go through a very physically stressful journey. But even through this, they are able to work together and complete this whole entire hiking trip. So as we move on to Jake's character, who's Helen's brother's best friend, Jake is actually a very wholesome character. He has his job. Well, he was a physician, but now he's kind of retired almost, or he doesn't practice anymore. But he's a very wholesome person who seems to appreciate Helen as a person and who she is. Her humor, her intelligence, the warmth that she has towards her brother. And through this, he actually develops, or he has developed, an emotionally attached feeling towards Helen. And he ends up getting together with her. But what's interesting is that he seems like this well put together, no flaw character. But later on, he actually reveals that he has a condition that affects his eyes' ability to function, which is actually one of the reasons why he had to quit being a physician. And so through these vulnerable moments, Helen is there to almost aid him into a more comfortable state, where he's kind of in this situation where he's struggling about his own identity as well, you know, what he's going to be doing, and just that constant fear of, when is it going to consume me? When is the disease going to come at me where it's permanent? And it's really funny to see how Helen and Jake are always bantering about how Helen thinks that, you know, Jake followed her, which is partially true. But at the same time, Jake revealing his own vulnerable sides, along with Helen as well. And so these two characters just going back and forth with their weaknesses and discussing them openly, showing that they all have things that, you know, they're working towards and possibly ashamed about. But through this, they kind of help each other build a layer of confidence within themselves. So as we move on to a bit more of a deeper analysis of Helen's defensiveness, which is very, very highlighted through the relationship with Jake, she feels a strong attraction towards him, but is also very frustrated with his presence on the trip. But it seems that this defensiveness that she portrays is a mechanism where she believes that keeping emotional distance will protect her from rejection and heartache, which was placed into her through her divorce. And as you can see through the movie, as they progress through the hike, the defensiveness manifests in moments of irritation and sarcasm, mostly directed to Jake, and she eventually expresses the resentment that's been hovering over her, and it kind of is later turned into a sense of maturity, which forms into a sense of her own insecurities. And this tension kind of illustrates how Helen struggles between wanting to connect with Jake and the fear of maybe losing him if he does get attached, really makes the relationship between them so complex, but also very interesting to see. The film's premise resolves around Helen's decision to join a wilderness survival course after her divorce, and the choice really reflects her desire to escape her mundane life and rediscover herself. And you can see that the beautifulness of the nature is seen to symbolize how life is not a simple thing that you can just categorize and encapsulate into this little jar or even write down. But it's filled with endless opportunities and people and happiness and hurt and joy and confusion. And through this, she kind of becomes comfortable with this idea of it's okay not to go walk through the line, but rather sometimes beneficial if you divert from it from time to time. As she embarks on this journey, Helen initially, as mentioned, is a very cynical person, but that is a very perfect mirror of her internal struggles. And through the encounters with nature, she is beginning to overcome not only her mental struggles, but her physical obstacles as well. And experiencing the beauty of wilderness, she confronts the fears and insecurities that she's been holding on to while she was, you know, at home. The act of hiking itself, which I think is a very, very interesting thing to discuss about, actually seems to act as a metaphor for her journey of self-discovery, where each step that is taken in the wide parallels her efforts to move forward in life, symbolizing the resilience and determination that she eventually builds up. And through this buildup, the dynamics among the group of hikers that she goes along with, she finds initially very annoyed, actually, but as a way to appreciate their support and their perspectives and giving her an opportunity to open up her mindset about life in general. And this shift in perspective allows Helen to begin appreciating not just joys, but small joys around her, rather fixating on what she's lost. And nature acts as a facilitator for these connections. It strips away the distractions of modern life, allowing deeper relationships to flourish amidst sharing all these struggles. So the movie is really portraying a deeper interpretation towards humans' perception of life. How sometimes we get carried away with what we do, whether it's our job, career, school, relationships sometimes, and we end up neglecting certain things that are actually needed for our survival. For example, the nature. Being intact with nature without any electronic devices in this movie creates a space where they can fully appreciate what they have been missing throughout their daily life, whether it's the design of how a tree is looking like, the air that they breathe, the dangers maybe of the obstacles that they need to go through. All these things creates a sense of realization that trickles down and relates to their own personal lives. And I think that's why this film is such a great film, is because it's relevant to all of us who's living such a busy life and who's focused on our own passions and our goals. And lastly, it's a great ending as well. I really like the ending. It ends off with the two protagonists dancing, and they share a kiss. And through this, they end up starting a fresh life with the realization of their own vulnerabilities. So if you guys get a chance, please go check out the movie. It's really, really interesting. And if anybody wants to discuss this movie further, I'm happy to do so. Just call the number 604-822-2487, and I'm more than happy to discuss this live with you, or we can arrange a day. All right, so for the rest of the show, why don't we get through some songs by Shred Kelly, the first one being My Vessel, My Grave. I hope you guys enjoy this. Here we go. That was My Vessel, My Grave by Shred Kelly. I hope you guys enjoyed that. The next song I have for you guys today is called Stuck Between. Here we go.
you're stuck between the city lights and your hometown. You knew the breeze, it kissed my cheeks goodbye.
That was Stuck Between by Shred Kelly. The next song I have for you guys is called Paperweights. I hope you guys enjoy this song as well. And after maybe one or two more songs, I will actually be sharing another fun fact segment. So I hope you guys are looking forward to that, here is Paperweights. That was Paperweights by Shred Kelly. Next, we have Person of Heart. I hope you guys enjoy this, and I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
I am a person of heart, but I can't see you in the dark. In darkness, I lost the beat inside of a storm. But if you reach through the thick of the fog, write your words and I'll write the song. Just keep on and don't forget what was before. When the universe gets mean, when you of me you could take. So dance and keep on track. Be the mortar in the nicks and the cracks. And I'll love you more than this storm loves rain. And so I shed my skin. I'm gonna let parachutes took you back to the start. So I'll pass you a ladder down there and we'll start anew. But climbing is the hardest thing. Each step you can feel the sting. Give me your strength, give me your sight, give me all of you. And so I shed my
That was Person of Heart. I hope you guys enjoyed those songs for today. Why don't we end off with some fun facts about banana bread? Because I think one of the things that I crave the most are pastries. And of those, I love, absolutely love banana bread. And actually, one of my guests in my show, Allie, is a great baker. And she baked me some banana bread a couple weeks ago. And I'm obsessed with them ever since. And thankfully, she's making some more this Sunday, which I'm super excited about already. So why don't we get through a couple fun facts about banana bread and end off on a sweet note. So first one is, it's actually a fruit of many colors. While most commonly known banana is the vibrant yellow, bananas can come in red, blue, even Java, like blue Java banana, red and a purple hue, which I don't think I've ever seen, but apparently there's a lot of variety of colors that can be portrayed or presented through the fruit of a banana. The next one is banana bread's origin actually became popular in the Great Depression in the United States, when resourceful home cooks found creative ways to use overripe bananas. Which actually is the best, I think, is the best type of banana to use, is when your bananas are overripe, they're actually very, very sweet. And therefore, you don't really need extra sweeteners, in my opinion, to actually make the banana bread sweet. The next one I have for you guys is that banana bread has a versatile flavor of combinations. While the traditional banana bread is a timeless favorite, there's no limit to the flavor combination. So you can add different ingredients like chocolate chips, nuts, dried fruits, or even spices like cinnamon, like salt, and it'll still taste absolutely amazing. These facts I actually pulled up from the article Baked at 8. So if you guys are interested in reading some more, please go ahead. But I'm actually curious now, what are your guys' favorite pastries? Or even comfort foods, because I'd actually classify banana bread as one of my main comfort foods, along with maybe pizza, a warm glass of milk, and maybe a Zero Coke. I'd say that's like my four comfort foods that I just want to eat whilst enjoying a wonderful rom-com. But yeah, speaking of comfort foods, I hope you guys all have something that gives you that comforting feeling after such a stressful, hard-working day, because as much as it is important to persevere through those situations, it's also very important to give yourself a break, which I emphasize so many times in my show. So I hope you guys are able to do that with your own lives as well. Fifth week, everybody, we're almost halfway there already, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful semester. I hope that you guys are getting some sort of joy out of your courses or even your work, and everything's kind of going as planned. And if it's not, that's okay. We still have another couple weeks to finish up this semester. So good luck, everybody. I hope everyone, and I do believe that everyone will succeed. I think it's really all about just sticking to it and persevering through those tough times. I'm honestly in the same position as everybody else, which I think is, you know, what makes me, in a way unique, because I come here every day doing a show, and I love it. And although I love this and school's great, I still have those moments where I do need a break from now and then. So I completely understand, to some degree that, you know, it is stressful. It is difficult to really juggle multiple things, but I'm here with you guys, and I will continue to be here, you know, doing some amazing rom-com reviews, conducting interviews, and sharing my own literary works. So I hope you guys can stick it with me as long as possible. My name is Jeff, and this is another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope to see you guys next week. Again, have a lovely afternoon, have a lovely Friday, and have a lovely weekend, everybody. I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.